I can see there's a few people in the ranks here that probably will get baptized in the not-too-distant future, but maybe it'll wait till next year, but that'll be wonderful, too. I want to just fill you in a little bit about one of the... Grace and I went down to Cincinnati last weekend. We drove down there Friday, got there by about 5:30, got caught up, or 6:30, got caught up in the traffic going through Cincinnati. But there was a brief meeting that night. There were six individuals and several wives. One man that was down there couldn't bring his wife, but she was ill. Basically, most of the ministerial trainees, one of them at her apprentices, were there with their wives. I must tell you that I approached this whole process with a great deal of trepidation, because it's a huge responsibility to embark on that. It's easier for me to sit back. And also, one of my concerns, because I've always been kind of, my nature is not to be, I'm a little bit countercultural in mentality. And so when you put yourself in a position where you want to train for an office or a responsibility within the church that requires you to be follow the status quo, it makes me a little nervous, because my responsibility is first and foremost to God, and I don't want to let organizations stand in the way of that. And sometimes that has happened. When we were down in Cincinnati, I was tremendously relieved to hear the things that I heard. It reassured me that I was not embarking on something that I shouldn't be, because the emphasis there was always our commitment to God, first and foremost, and an attitude of service, an attitude of servant leadership. Now, that doesn't apply just to ministers or ministerial trainees, or it applies to all of us, because we're here because we're being trained to be leaders in the world tomorrow. And one of the book that I would highly recommend that you read this book sometime. Sometime, just take the time to browse through this book. This is not a Church of God International book. This is a book written by two individuals, Ken Blanchard and Phil Hodges. And it makes me very, very excited to see the direction that CGI is going in, because it's exactly where I think we should be. And revelation of all revelation is just basically applying the truth of God and the attitude of God. If you turn with me in your Bible for a minute to Luke, not too far from where John was talking. And this has to do with the attitude of foot washing. This has to do with the attitude of what it is to repent and to be baptized, because you have to have this mentality. This is the attitude that each one of us must have if we're to have unity and harmony within the church. And if we're going to be leaders, this is the way we have to be. In verse 24, chapter 22 of Luke, in verse 24, "But there was also rivalry among them." You see, they had just performed the Passover service, if you read up here, just before that, and Christ had taken the wine and said, this is my blood, and he'd taken the bread and said, this is my body. They'd gone through the service, and after, when they left, there was this rivalry among them. Who was going to be the greatest? And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. Why would you call them benefactors? Because there's this mentality sometimes that we want people to be in authority over us. We want people to tell us what to do. So it's not just people that want to put themselves in positions of authority. It's individuals that want people to tell them what to do. Instead of looking to God, they look to personalities. And of course, that's not the right thing to do. These are the critical words. "But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table, or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But with this aspect of service, I think sometimes we think we humble ourselves now as we go through our walk with God in this world so that we can be rulers in the world tomorrow, with that mentality of being in power and authority, which we will be. But the attitude never changes. In the kingdom of God, those who will be privileged to rule will be the greatest servants. And the greatest servant of all, of course, will be God the Father and Jesus Christ, who will continue to serve those who are in his kingdom. The crux of this book is just that. It talks about the heart, the head, the hands, and the habits of a leader. And, of course, that, as I said before, applies to each one of us. One of the things that we've lacked in the past, and I'm sure you would agree with this, there was a lot of head involved. There was a lot of head and knowledge involved. But sometimes we lacked the heart. We lacked the heart. And I think what we're finding now is that central to our walk with God is the fact that there has to be the right attitude and a sense of humility and a sense of caring and a sense of love for one another. Otherwise, it just doesn't work. You can rule with a rod of iron, and as long as that rod is over your head, you will do what you're told. But when that rod is gone, people will just continue to do what they want to do instead of what is right. But if you serve God with an attitude of humility, which is what the foot washing is all about, it begins with an attitude of humility and repentance and a willingness to want to obey God and follow God. And of course, God empowers us. And as we talk to the two individuals here who were baptized, God gives us the power to follow him. He takes the principalities and the powers that are in the universe, and he's already defeated them. He's defeated them for us. And all we have to do is draw on God, draw on his power to get us through whatever situation it is. Paul in Romans 7 talks about the things that he wanted to do, he didn't do, and the things that he didn't want to do, he did. He's talking about his struggle with himself. Because although we have been freed from slavery, when we've committed ourselves to God, and we've been freed from slavery, that doesn't mean we're not impacted or influenced by the world around us, and even our past. We take a little bit of our past with us, even past the point of repentance and baptism. Some of that baggage comes along with us, and we try to get rid of that over the course of time. But that comes with the right attitude and trusting with God. Paul knew the truth. He was filled with knowledge. He knew how to obey God, but to actually do it, he said to himself, "How wretched man that I am." And then he says, "I thank God for Jesus Christ," because our source of strength and power is not just through the example of Jesus Christ, but through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God that comes through Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Philippians. I'll just read one more scripture here. Philippians 2. Because this is what embodies, as we come to the days of unleavened bread, as we come to the Passover, this is what embodies what we're going to commemorate, this object lesson that we're trying to learn, and every time we do it, there's something more that we inculcate in our life. We'll begin with verse 2, because Paul is telling the Philippians that if there's something that brings him joy, it's to see them responding in a way that emulates the very nature of Jesus Christ. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, of any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. In times past, if I might just break there for a minute, in times past, some of the baggage that we carried from previous organizations, particularly Worldwide Church of God, is this hierarchical form of government that has encouraged selfish ambition. It's encouraged people to be ambitious. And it's okay to be ambitious for Jesus Christ in the right way, but this is selfish ambition. This is to get ahead, to gain some form of prominence and power within the organization, oftentimes. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, and let each esteem others better than himself. That's quite a statement to make, and something that we should sit down and meditate and consider about. Consider that. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. And at this conference we were having, it was this emphasis that we have to put ourselves out of the picture. If you want to be a leader, you put yourself out of the picture. It's not about Brick Dubler. It's not about Erica De La Cruz. It's not about Paul Paracki. It's about God, and it's about Jesus Christ. We have to put ourselves out of the picture. And that's not always an easy thing to do. The natural tendency is to put ourselves first. It's all about me, is human nature. But the reality is, if we're going to fulfill what the very intention of humanity is, and that is to be not only made in the image of God, but now in the likeness of God, to reflect the very nature of God, then we have to have these characteristics that are being talked about here by Paul to the Philippians. And he said, let this mind be in you, because we're talking about the transformation that begins in the head and in the heart. The response that we have come as a result of transformations that take place between our ears. Couple that with the love that we feel, because love isn't just an action. Love is a feeling. We respond to one another not out of compulsion, not because we think in our mind, I should do this. We do it because we want to do it, because we love somebody. When you love somebody, that love compels you to do it. You just automatically will do it. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, and I like the way it's worded in the Jewish New Testament, did not regard equality with God something to be possessed by force. That is to say, that even as Satan tried to overthrow God and take a position of power, Jesus Christ did the exact opposite. He took his position of glory and emptied himself, because he was wanting to fulfill the will of God. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And of course, then comes the exaltation, because when you humble yourself, God will exalt you. And even as he exalted Jesus Christ to where he is right now, sitting at the right hand of his throne, he will exalt his people to serve in a capacity of humility, to serve in a capacity of love and care, and those things that John read in Ephesians, the kindness and the tenderness and the kind of characteristics that will weave us together as a strong congregation and as an organization and as a church. So the crux of what we were learning down there, and they're looking at this as somewhat revolutionary, because even as each one of us has carried some of the baggage over from what we've learned in the past, some of that has to be unlearned. And as I mentioned down there, the brethren have been crying for this. It's not that this isn't going to be accepted. This is something that the brethren in general are going to embrace. It's just that sometimes in the past we've embraced a wrong paradigm of what we think the kingdom of God will be like, what we think the church will be like. And we have lots of individuals who are still proponents of this authoritarian, hierarchical system of things. And I'm so pleased that that is not what's happening in CGI. And I can say that when I was down there, I think I'm a pretty good judge of character. There's a sincere desire to have this mentality of servant leadership. And, it encourages me that I don't have to compromise in what I believe is what God intends for us to have within the body of Christ, and this relationship between one another and within leaders within the church. It ought to be an act of service. It ought to be an act of love. And Scripture supports that through and through. So I just wanted to give you a little rundown of what happened down there, and how I'm actually very excited about what's transpiring. And I know that CGI generally is of that mentality, but we're moving further in that direction. We're moving further in that direction, and that's a great thing. We were down there. It was 22 degrees when we left, and it was sunny and clear and beautiful skies. It was like summer. The tulips, not the tulips, but the daffodils were out. The birds were singing. Even the fruit trees were blossoming. And as we worked our way back to Ontario, it got to be colder and colder. We got to past Windsor. It was 0 degrees. The roads were treacherous because of the snow that had fallen. Fortunately, we didn't have to go through the storm, but the roads were very poor. So we came back to reality. But spring is on its way.